Good morning and welcome to episode 171 of Taking the Charge podcast. With you from Regensburg, Germany, I'm David Hein of Hein News. Thank you for stopping by again. For many of you, you might be in the middle of Christmas stress, but I hope everybody's doing okay. Loads of basketball during this really exciting time, and obviously we want to talk about that. So, I guess first start off with how to get in contact with the show. You can catch me on Twitter at Hein News, HEINNEWS. There's the Facebook group, that's Taking the Charge Podcast. Just, go in there, ask to join the club, and we will gladly welcome you in, but we want to be there to have our open arms waiting for you. The email is hinnews@gmx.de, and of course the website is hinnews.com. Where do we want to start? I guess let's start with just some of the news. Obviously, the big story in European basketball is the end of the regular season for the EuroLeague, the biggest story around that is that Maccabi Tel Aviv failed to get past the regular season for the first time in history. Darshavaka Dogsh ended up getting fourth place in Group D. So congratulations to the Istanbul club, and we'll come back to Maccabi. Otherwise, the main thing that I wanted to address with with EuroLeague was with the top 16 was Group F, with this amazing grouping of teams: Olympiacos, Barcelona, Real Madrid, CSKA Moscow, Shagiris, all former champions, and then you also have Khimki, Kucha, Laboral Kucha Vitoria, and Brose Baskets Bamberg. You have to imagine that at least one giant, will not make it. It'd be interesting to see if Khimki, obviously with a loaded roster, if they could put another one of the big giants behind them and reach the playoffs. But in general, just an absolute packed group. Really excited that Bamberg is in that group, and we'll come back to that as well. But excited about Bamberg being in that group that can go check out those games. Group E, Fenerbahce and Adula Efes, and Dogsh, so three Istanbul clubs. And then you have Panathinaikos, you have Lokomotiv Kuban, Unicaja Malaga, who I see just lost Stefan Markovic, and then you also have Cedevita Zagreb. At least a couple of those teams from Group F might be wondering what could have been if they would have been in Group E. But you gotta get where you're at. Exciting, definitely. I think there's a chance that we might see a surprise in the playoffs, maybe from Group E, that if you had put money down at the beginning of the year. Zvezda, I could totally see Zvezda getting through and maybe making the playoffs. Be a total sensation. Obviously, they knocked off Bayern at home, and to get their spot in the top 16. So congratulations out to going out to Belgrade. I know, you know, people in with Bayern might not be too happy about it, but I'm not totally disappointed, because knowing I would have had to gone down in the middle of winter to go to Bayern games. It's a real trek to get down there. It's real difficult. Takes me sometimes upwards of almost 3 hours, which is for a trip that usually only takes about an hour and 10 minutes with no traffic. So granted, okay, it would have been nice to be able to see the teams that they face off against. On the other hand, I wasn't totally disappointed, and sorry for the club, just because, you know, it's good for German basketball if they'd had a second team in the top 16. But for my personal reasons, it's not a bad thing that they're not in there. And also the situation with talking to players after games and stuff like that is a little more is a little easier in Bamberg, just the setup of the arena. So just all in all, it's I'm really happy that Bamberg are there, and not because I like Bamberg more than Bayern at all, but you know, just for logistical and traffic reasons and stuff like that. I did want to just talk about one more thing in the EuroLeague. There's obviously starting on Sunday, December 27th, is the Adidas, the first qualifying tournament of the Adidas Next Generation tournament, that being in Rome. And a pretty good grouping of teams there. Should be a pretty interesting group. I think I kind of addressed this already, but I'll kind of just go through it a little bit. You have Moscow, CSKA Moscow, Anadolu Efes, Stella Zurich, and Virtus Bologna. And then you have in one group, and then the other group is Armani, Megalex, Umana, Rayer Venice, and Unicam Malaga. The preview sort of breakdown of the teams will be published, I believe, today, the Wednesday, on the website. The players to watch, I believe, is coming out on Saturday, the 26th. So some post-Christmas reading, or just December 26th, Boxing Day reading. Kind of get a check of the guys that I consider the players to watch. That'll be on there, and I'll link that. Most likely, I'll link that to the Facebook page if I can remember that. Might not be until the 27th when the tournament starts, but I will do so nonetheless. The only NBA thing I want to really talk about directly is. Just that, for those in the States, it's a pretty nice grouping of NBA games going on. New Orleans starts at Miami, Chicago, Oklahoma City, and then at, 4 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern, is that right? No, 5 p.m. Eastern. What is that? 4 p.m. Central, Cleveland at Golden State, which obviously could be a preview of the NBA Finals. San Antonio after that play at Houston, and then the Battle of L.A. With Clippers at the Lakers. So a nice grouping of games that the NBA has put together for Christmas Day. So go out and enjoy that. All right, so I want to put on my Santa Claus hat, turn myself into High News Claus, or Santa High News, or Santa News, or whatever, and give out some gifts. I want to, and there's a mix of international stuff, NBA and EuroLeague stuff. Start off with Maccabi. I'm going to give them a golden plate where it states that they have an A license so that they can always remember that this season, knowing that they'll be playing EuroLeague and regardless of what happens. And for their fans, a David Blatt mask to hide the embarrassment of their faces, knowing that they didn't reach the top 16 for the first time in the EuroLeague era for the club. For the Los Angeles Lakers and Philadelphia 76ers, I'm giving them toy tanks with pictures of Ben Simmons on it. Obviously, you can catch what I mean on that one. For Brose Baskets Bamberg, I mentioned that I would come back to them in the EuroLeague. I'm going to give them a drawing of David taking down Goliath. Bamberg, in their history, are winless in 20 games in the top 16. They went 0-6, I want to say 05 or 06, and then in 2014 they went 0-14. So they've never won a game in the top 16. And on top of that, their all-time EuroLeague record against the other seven teams in that group is 2-34. Those wins being against Olympiacos and Real Madrid. Definitely a David and Goliath task. For the Warriors, I'm not going to give you anything. According to Santa High News contacts in San Antonio and Los Angeles, you've already got your present by winning the NBA title. CSKA Moscow, there's a BB gun with target sheets with the face of Vasilis Spanoulis on there. After continually losing to them in the big games, they get two games against them in the top 16, and hopefully for Moscow fans, they can exercise their Vasilis Spanoulis demons. For Kobe, obviously he's probably going to get a lot of presents with his farewell, but I'm going to give him a cowboy hat to wear as he rides off into the sunset. For Cleveland, I'm going to give them, the Cleveland Cavaliers, I'm going to give them a lucky charm to stay healthy for the rest of the season, because I think a healthy Cleveland is really the only team that can end up challenging a team in the West in the NBA Finals. To the FEB, the Spanish Basketball Federation, and all of the Spanish players, a DVD looking back at EuroBasket 2015, recalling the magical run to the title. Somewhat unexpected, especially considering they were fourth place in their group and almost went home. For the Bosnian and Herzegovina Basketball Federation, I'll give you a sponsor, a nice big sponsor for the federation. They almost were not allowed to play the U16 European Championship semifinal. FIBA officials came in and said, after the quarterfinals, and said, there's a fee that's required and participation fee, and they hadn't paid it, and they found a private investor who paid 10,000 euros, a person by the name of Pero Gudelish, and he paid it for them, 10,000, and a private business person, and they were able to go on and win the under-16 European Championship, most likely the biggest sporting result in the country's history. For Robert Bobrowski, a 15-year-old 7'6" guy, so about 221, plays for Stella Zura in Rome, and weighing in at all of 184 pounds, giving him 10 tons of pasta to eat. If you go if you want to go check out this amazing kid, Stella Zura. The last name is BOBROCZKYE, KYI, I believe. If not, just put 7'6", Romanian, and Rome, Stella Zura. Yeah, just really kind of strange. He just doesn't look very healthy, but obviously he's got to put some weight on. Interesting kid, just from the highlights that you see, how he's going to develop this next couple of years. Really crucial. And for the last gift from Santa Hein News, a sticker saying, why can't we all get along? And that is to FIBA and EuroLeague. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens over the next few months with the dispute over what European elite basketball will look like, club basketball will look like next season. Okay, so let's move over to my interview. The interview of the week is with Mishko Raznatovic. Apologize for the mispronunciation of the names. I'm with Serbian, I'm really bad. Mishko is the president founder of BioBasket, the Belgrade-based player agency, and one of the biggest agencies in European basketball. Arguably, you could probably even say Europe in world basketball. Just alone the top 16, the early top 16, they have 33 guys on 10 different teams. Basically, you know, you're looking at all the big stars. Most of them are with BioBasket. And so this is the interview with the founder and president and with Mishko. So enjoy that, and we'll catch you on the other side. All right, welcome to the show. Mishko Raznatovic, is that right? Is it close? I'm really bad with Serbian names. The president of BioBasket, Mishko, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you.
First of all, we're at the end of the top 16, and usually that's a period where there's a lot of there's player movement. Just wondering how busy you are right now.
Well, I mean, still nothing happening. A lot of teams are interested in getting some new players, but still everything is up on the air. So there is nothing concrete for the moment. I hope it will be, I don't know, until the end of the week.
Yeah. So you have a quiet Christmas time, right?
Yeah, for me it's not Christmas time, you know. The Orthodox, it's 7th of January, but for most of the teams it is.
Yeah. I wanted to kind of take a look at, kind of go back a little bit to the agency. I know you graduated from law in 1988, and then decided to found BioBasket in 95. Was just kind of wondering what kind of brought you to that decision to start up a player agency.
I have never had planned this, you know. So I finished law university and I started to practice. I had very, very good and very successful attorney's offices, couple of lawyers working for me, mainly criminal law, but also some civil cases. Well, yeah, I was very young for the owner of the lawyer's office. And, you know, everything went very nice and smooth in this direction. Then all of a sudden, you know, it started with basketball, to helping some players to collect the money from the clubs to do the contracts, and then, you know, I started to find them job some nearest countries like Hungary and Romania, and I like it. I saw that I could be successful, and you know, started to take this the agent business more serious. And very soon I had nice results, so I decided to leave my office to other people, and I became full-time basketball agent, and obviously I'm very happy for this decision.
So when did you actually decide to forego the other duties, if you will, and just focus on the basketball part of it?
No, I started in 95, and a couple of years I do both things, but I would say at the end of last century, maybe 99 or 2000, you know, I decided to be full-time agent.
And you're the head of, you're the president of the you'd have to say one of the biggest agencies in all of Europe. You had, you guys have 33 players in the EuroLeague, in 10 different teams in the top 16. How many players do you have? I suppose it's probably hard to keep track.
Excuse me?
How many players do you have under contract?
I have no idea. Really. I mean, I never counted. There is a huge number, but it's not only me. It's like 7-8 people working here, agents, and a lot of guys who are under the mark of the basket. I have no any contact, and very often I even don't know that they are with us. So I take care about the stars, and I take care about the players who are long time with me, maybe veterans who are with me for 10, 15 years. So I want to finish their career. I want them to finish their career with me. And also I take care about guys who are 15 to 18, a couple of them for whom I believe that would be new spec. Pekovic, Panulis, Tletovic. So that's Mishko's job, you know. Bell Basket, all together, we have really a lot of players, but, I mean, a lot of people are working, so it's not a problem to organize and keep it.
Is there something in a player that you, when you're going to look for a player, is there something, a personality, or, I mean, obviously you want him to be a good basketball player, but is there something personality-wise, too, that you want from him?
Not really. No, I mean, okay, I just want some normal guys, you know.
Yeah.
They're not causing the troubles and, you know, to be gooder. Now I'm even in phase that for to work with me, they need to be great basketball players. No, it's not enough to be good.
You have a lot of guys on various national teams, also on various clubs. When you go to a game, can you root for teams anymore? I mean, is it knowing that, okay, I have this guy on this team and this guy on this team? Do you have any rooting interest in any of the games you go to?
Yes, I mean, I believe that I watch the biggest number of the games from all the agents, so I have all the channels in the home, at home. I watch really a lot, so my family complain also. I'm traveling a lot. It's very difficult very often, you know, that so like you're watching a team where you have 5-6 guys and you want them to succeed, and then they play against a team where you have the similar number of the players and also important guys and friends, and you want them also to be successful. So, I mean, in that kind of the game, very often I found myself that whoever is in the offense, I would like to score. So, I mean, no. This really looks funny, but that's the story. And also, you know, decide whom I would like to win depending on the current situation, you know, who needs to win more, or I don't know, if I need some player that he's under the pressure to, you know, something like this. But a real, that I'm a real fan of some team, I'm not.
Knowing that, you know, you have so many stars, you know, both under your own contract with you directly, but also so many guys within the agency. Maybe talk about how do you see your place in the game? I mean, you look at the stars that you have, and you know, you think about them, you know, and you say, okay, you know, he might be like a Scott Boras, U.S. baseball, or a Jay-Z with basketball, or you know, I've also seen. Jorge Mendez, football agent. Where do you see yourself in the game and maybe those comparisons?
I mean, I really don't know what to say. I mean, okay, I don't believe that I'm so important for the game, despite that he really helped too many guys and especially young guys with advices. But generally, that's it. I don't want to interfere too much on the game. I am like a guy who needs to make the good contracts, to put them in the right place, to make right choices where to go, and that's it. Nothing more than that. I want to be in the shadow.
Yeah. Maybe one of the, let's say, defining moments for you and for your agency. Maybe took it from one level to the next. I mean, you know, maybe it's something like, you know, getting Spanoulis. You know, what would you say is like the changing moment for the agency, if there was one?
Yeah, there is no doubt about it, you know. So it was in 2010, and I signed contract between Ivković and CSKA Moscow. It was this contract was outstanding one, and also I did in the legal way some pretty unique. And after that, I would say that my agency became elite one, and after that we had more or less no problem to recruit other people, because everybody said, oh wow, if he's capable to represent Ivković and to do contracts like this, for sure he's capable to represent any of the players in the world. And from that time, everything changed. Also, this year I signed contract with Spanoulis, what in that moment I didn't no, and didn't expect to be such a revolutionary move. But, you know, a couple of years later, I understood what it is. So 2002 was the most important year for me because of Ivković, because of Spanoulis.
Coming back to something that's near and dear to your heart, Serbia. Zvezda has reached the top 16 in this year's EuroLeague. How important is that for the program to get through a really tough group?
I didn't understand the question. Connection is not so good. I really have difficulties to understand you. So try louder and slower.
Okay. How important was Zvezda reaching the top 16 this season?
For whom? For me?
Yeah, for
or for Serbia.
For Serbia.
But that's very important, of course. You know, basketball is sport number one. It's you know, getting 14 more games was really made everybody excited. You know? So it's especially in that group, you know, and on very very tough and very difficult games. You know, Red Star really did great success.
Another just general questions about Serbia, since you know the Serbian basketball so well. Zvezda has passed Partizan, and you could say that Mega is passed as well. What do you think Partizan needs to do to sort of return to one of the top teams? And maybe will, you know, Nikola Pekovic coming in as president, how much will that help?
It helped a lot, because if he didn't come, you know, probably they will even not compete. For a really bad situation. For the moment, situation is not easy, because Partizan has I still can't say the best crowd in Europe. The fans are outstanding, and they really love the club, and from that point of view, everything is perfect. But besides this situation, they still have plenty of debts, and Nikola is trying with other people to finish with primarily with those debts. And until they finish this, they will not be able to have a nice budget and to return. So there is some kind of the transition, 1 or 2 years, that people really have to be patient. and looks like for the moment that they're not patient, but they have to be, you know, because they need to solve all those issues from the past to start building something big for the future.
Yeah, and having young players is part of that future, especially in Serbia.
Yes, but unfortunately, you know, and for the moment, the biggest talent in the country are in Red Star and in Mega. So Partizan in youth categories have very nice players, but not real stars. So they have also to do something in that direction, and they really need the time. You know, they cannot come back in 1 year. They really need the time, but I really hope that they're going to make it, because Serbian basketball without strong Partizan is, not the same. All of us need this. Even Red Star needs this.
What exactly is your connection to Mega?
I founded that club. I didn't found. So, okay, the club was like some factory club, and I took it over. And with the idea to develop a couple of guys, but, you know, it was going more and more and better, you know, team came to A1. And when the team qualified for Adriatic League, you know, it becomes really serious, you know, and people started to complain that it's not correct that one agent ran the club. And, I accepted this, so I went out of the club, you know. I don't support club financially anymore, and also all my friends and relatives went out of the managing board. So practically, my connection with this club, doesn't exist. You know, the other people are doing the show, and of course, having in mind my experience and having in mind my ideas, you know, we talk a lot and. In 90% of the cases, they follow my advice. Mm-hmm.
There's a saying, you know, any news is good news. The uniforms for Mega, the pink and green, are very, very colorful. Let's say that. What do you think about those? It has people talking about a young club that's exciting as well.
Yes, I a couple of years ago, when I was the president of the club, you know, I wanted to change something, you know, it's not easy for this club to go out of the shadow of Red Star Partizan, and one of the ideas was getting some crazy jerseys. So I left this decision to my daughter. She was 10 in that time, and she chose from all the colors of Adidas marketing products, pink. And then we started to play with pink, and didn't expect such a big reaction. You know, reactions are positive, negative, doesn't matter, but everybody reacted. So after that, it becomes the trademark of the club. So every season the jerseys are more and more unique, more and more crazy. And now all Europe, even the United States, talks about this. So obviously it was a good move.
And it's producing great talent, the club, too, with Jokic, Misic, and Dangjubic being drafted. How important was that as a confirmation of all the work that's done with the club?
Yeah, it was very, very important, because only three teams in the history of European basketball managed to have three guys drafted in one season. And also it was a really big sign that the club is really special. So now a lot of good players out of Serbia would like to join the club. And it happened this year with Team Luva Vukabare and Alfa Kava. So both guys arrived here, and they're doing great. And I believe that both of them will finish in NBA. So I don't know, in one of interview to the French reporters, I said, you know, Mega pretends to be, let's say, for the French, circumstances, Sorbonne, you know, so University of Sorbonne, you know, go there. After that, you have great education, and you will go and work in some of the nice and great places. So Mega is trying to be something like this in basketball, that, you know, that you come there, you get great teachers, lot of playing time, nice attitude and everything else, and after that you will be able to go to NBA or top European teams. And I believe that that a lot of people understand this for the moment.
Serbia has a country of about 7 million people. How do they continue to produce so much basketball talent?
I mean, it's difficult to say, but yeah, I mean, this is like tradition. This is maybe a little bit genetics, and you know, this is one of the few countries where basketball is number one, and kids are playing since early age, and that's it.
I specialize in youth basketball, and really one guy I want to ask you about is Dušan Musa, who's obviously already playing really well with Cetevita. There was a deal close with Olympiakos. What kind of changed it to go to Cetevita, and how do you think he's done so far? You know, now being, you know, just over a year that he's been with Cetevita.
Obviously, the season to go to Cedevita was great because, you know, he's getting minutes even in the first seniors team, in ABA League games and sometimes in EuroLeague games, despite he's only 16. They negotiated with Olympiakos before my, let's say, interfering to the game. And I really don't know what happened there, you know, but they didn't conclude the deal. Then Cedevita was interested, and then they came to me asking me to represent the guy. It was really like this. I didn't come to the guy to represent him, to me. Of course, I accepted because he's one of the great talents in Europe. And in that time, I told him that, you know, Olympiakos is, you know, one of my favorite clubs and one of the best in Europe. But I don't believe that this is a great place for the 16-year-old kid to go, you know. I told him Olympiakos should be your target, but not now, in 20. When you're 20, when you are ready to play in starting five to get the minutes in Olympiakos, now you would, I know very well, quality and strength of this team. You will not be in top 12 players. You will practice with seniors. They're traveling a lot. Juniors are not enough good. So it was not a great decision for him to move there. But as I said already, and I want to repeat, it was not a situation that I still did Olympiakos. They didn't agree. And even today, I don't know what has happened and why they didn't agree. Something happened. It was still open when Cedevita came to the game, and they came to me, and I concluded with Cedevita, and I'm sure that it was a very good decision.
A couple of basketball, general basketball, European-wise, I saw a quote saying, you know, that saying that they're looking for, coaches are looking for athletic, undersized centers, Hines, Lazme, Dunston. What do you, you know, in the NBA, you see, you know, the Warriors and, you know, that style, you know, people are saying that that's, you know, becoming a little bit, you know, people are maybe trying to copy that a little bit. What do you think about the state of European basketball right now?
I mean, you know, I said many times, you know, the basketball is going shorter, you know, it's obvious and quicker, and you know, it's going in this direction. So I really don't like everything that is happening in European basketball with this EuroLeague and FIBA EuroLeague problems. And, you know, I don't like competition system of 16 teams playing 30 games. But, you know,
why do you not like it? That's one of the topics I wanted to ask you. Obviously, you know the sport so well. Why do you?
Yeah, because all the teams which are out of the 16, they will reduce the budget because it's very complicated and almost impossible to play the highest level of competition. And there is a lot of sponsors, they don't want to be out. So practically, we will have 16 great teams, so 200 players will play big-time competition. And then after that, maybe four or five teams will dream about EuroLeague. And all of others will compete just in local competition, and it will be less interest, less money, and less producing of the players. So that's my opinion.
Do you think?
So I understand that for big, big teams. That's great to play 30 games, 15 at home, with all the big teams. But generally, in for the basketball, I don't believe that's good. Football, if you have, I don't know, I mean, $500 million and you buy the team in Luxembourg, you know, you have chance to play Champions League. Because, you know, you go fourth, third, second, first round of qualification, you have great team with a lot of money, and you're okay. In basketball, it will be impossible because it will be only one place for all the Europe to enter the highest level of the competition. That's not good for sure.
What do you think happens? Do we have a EuroLeague and a Champions League next year or whatever FIBA says?
My opinion, you know, I know that they sign and what they sign, but I still believe that the next year the EuroLeague will not have 16 teams. Something is going to happen and will be changed because it's not possible to go this direction. I'm 100%. I mean, I really believe in that. And but if they make top six, if they make only 16 teams, I believe that FIBA will make Champions League, and then we will have two competition, and this is disaster.
Disaster. Another thing that people think is disaster, many people really have no idea, is the FIBA windows, national team windows during the season that starts in 2017. What are your thoughts about the FIBA windows?
It's really, I mean, okay, you know, I don't understand how it will work because, you know, I mean, if all the basketball players in the world play under the FIBA, I understand, but we have the best players playing in NBA, so I don't know. If France has 15 players in NBA, those 15 is not going to play, so they will have some B team, and maybe they will never qualify for the highest level of the competition. So, I don't know. I mean, they should agree about lot of details and way how to handle those windows. So, but 2019 is, I mean, far away, so we will see what's going to happen.
Yeah. As an agent of big name players with lots of power and everything else, I would like to get your reaction about what happened this past summer at the Under-19 World Championship with Dragan Bender. And the shoe dispute between Adidas and Croatia with Jordan Brand, what do you think about how that went down?
I mean, this is completely fault of a basketball federation of Croatia. So they cannot oblige the players to wear jerseys, I mean shoes, if they have with another company, so, and you know, I mean, it was clear from the beginning, and all the players with the contract, they play in their shoes. This is in seniors basketball. Mm-hmm. In juniors basketball, we had not that issue, but people forgot that now. Even kids with 16, 15, you know, they have the contract. Before, 5-7 years ago, was not that case. But now the biggest talents, like Bender, they have the contract in 16. And his contract is completely, I mean, of the same legal level as the contract of Kobe Bryant with for the shoe deal. So he has to respect. But I hope that, you know, in the future they will find a solution for that kind of the problems. But generally, basketball federations should not be sign the deals where they will oblige player to do something if this is against their own contract.
European basketball really seems to be carried supported by Turkey right now. You know, there's the BIKO. There's Turkish Airlines, there's Efes, there's Doğuş, there's Turkey Home, the EuroBasket 2017 in Turkey. You know, Turkey might host an Olympic qualifying tournament. Turkey, though, is also at the is front and center of a refugee crisis in Europe. And, you know, recently it's been described as Putin's Cold War with Turkey. Is European basketball living dangerously by relying so much on one country?
I mean, it's very difficult to give the answer on that. You know, if European basketball had a chance to depend from 5-6 countries, it would happen. But now, probably, Turkey is the most interested country in investing in basketball, and that's it. What's going to happen with refugees and Putin? Yeah, I'm not the guy to talk about.
You're more inclined for the basketball. Absolutely. Over the years, maybe one or two guys that you thought you had, and they got away. They signed with somebody else.
Not only a few. I mean, more than that, you know. And, you know, my philosophy is that there is nothing bad there. So, I mean, you know, whoever believes that somebody is more proper for him than me, he should leave and just tell me contracts and representation agreement, that is not important at all. You know, whoever believes that I'm not proper guy for him, I will not keep him because I have the contract. That's not my my situation. And I said so many times, I'm not against when some other agents approach my players, under, you know, because that's the business, you know. If they are better than me, if they convinced players that it will be better for them to move, that's the life. But probably I'm only one who seen this problem that way, because all others, when I approach their players, I mean, it's like become a Greek tragedy with all the possible stories, and, you know, but that's player's decision, you know, whatever they decide, you know. And I have no problem for guys who left me to meet, and when I met them somewhere in the game, say hello, to speak. Many cases like this. This is nothing personal. This is the business, and we, when I say we, agents, we have no right to be mad when somebody believes that something else is better.
If I went around and asked your players about you, what's the main thing you think they'd say, or hope they'd say?
What do they say? They will say he does outstanding work for us. That's it. I don't believe that they will say he's our close friends. I'm friends with only a couple of them. For all others, we have pretty cold and pretty, I mean, professional relationship. Not so many emotions.
Yeah. How good were you as a player? I saw that you retired when you were 38 and were still averaging, 37 points a game? How good were you as a player? What kind of contract could you have gotten for you?
Well, it's very difficult to say, but, you know, I mean, I was very talented when I was young, but I didn't make it. Somehow it happened, so, you know, I mean, a couple of bad decisions. And so I practically retired from professional basketball in 22 and started, as you said, low practice. But I don't know, and I returned in 25, and after that I played almost 15 years for this, I mean, let's say third division. In Italy, this is B1, in Spain is Lab 2, something like this. And I played this for 13, 14 years, and I was like main player in the league. But it's very difficult to compare with today's basketball, where, you know, athleticism is the dominant characteristic.
Just two more questions.
But I could score a lot of points, you know.
Were you an outside shooter, or would you drive, or what was your game?
3 points.
Okay. And you could always shoot from the outside, right? As long as you can shoot, until you're 38.
Yeah, I'm lefty, and I was shooting really amazing.
Okay. Just two more questions. Who are some of the players you just really, really like watching?
I really don't know.
That you would say, I'm actually going to go fly to, you know, whatever city, or, you know, take a road trip to this city to go and actually watch in person.
Curry from Golden State.
Anybody in Europe?
I should ask for anybody in Europe. I mean, it's difficult to say. Let's say Spanoulis, but this is my emotion to him. So I cannot say really. And really, whom I like to watch is Thomas Ertel from FSP.
Okay, well. Last question.
He has everything what they like. First, he shoots great. His assists are maybe the best in Europe, you know, and he doesn't play defense. So everything what they like is there.
Did you say he doesn't play defense?
Yes.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure. You don't like playing defense either, huh?
Yeah, never.
Okay, last question. You said when you started the agency that this was not what you wanted. You know, you didn't think of this at all. What kind of future plans, future goals do you have now?
I mean, they have only one plan. I don't want to improve anything. I just want to keep the same. So. You know, and maybe I'm wrong. You know, I want to increase, and I will do it for sure. My number of the NBA players. You know, it's going to happen for sure. And let's say that's my target, because in Europe, you know, I don't see any possibility to increase and develop anything with now 16-17% of EuroLeague players. To have more than that is impossible. And so my target is, let's say, to have one full team in NBA, 12 to 15 players in a couple of years. That's my target for the future, and I'm pretty sure in that success.
How many do you have now?
Now it's like 7.
6 or 7, okay. Misko, I thank you very much. I appreciate it very much. I enjoy following you on Twitter. Maybe you can give the people your Twitter handle.
Sorry?
You can tell people what your Twitter handle is, what your name is on Twitter, so people can follow you.
Mishko Foraznatovic.
Okay. Mishko, thank you very much. Appreciate it. And have a successful rest of 2015, and good luck in the future.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Yeah, fantastic. It was a very, very nice chat. Hope you enjoyed that. Met him briefly at a Bayern basketball game and figured perfect guy for the show. And is really a great follow as well. Really provides some great information. Definitely keeps up on the guys in the NBA. So if you're interested in some of the Europeans over at the in the NBA, if you follow him, he'll definitely keep you up on what his guys are doing. And interesting set of goals. You know that, that seems like the next step for the group. I mean, they just, like I said, have so many guys around European basketball. Maybe branch off to more countries and whatnot. That'd probably be one of the next things for them, I can imagine as well. Yeah, thanks again to Mishko and for the people there to help to let me have a pretty lengthy chat with a guy who's pretty busy. So hope you enjoyed that. With that, just we'll let you know what you're going to be listening to, and then head off. So the song is called 12 Days of Christmas. Actually, one of my favorite. One of my favorite Christmas songs. This one's by Artists for Christmas. It's available on freemusicarchive.org. So go check out the site. Great stuff all the time. And loads of it to listen to. So to those who celebrate, Merry Christmas. For those who might not, a very, very pleasant week. Just as every week, I wish you guys a pleasant week. And enjoy the great NBA stuff. Enjoy the week off of EuroLeague basketball. Although I guess they actually start up on... when is those first games? Those first games are on the 29th. So not until beginning of next week. So by the time the next show comes around, you'll have the first games already have been played. Enjoy those, the first games of the top 16, and hope you are able to enjoy the first round, the first qualifying tournament for the ANGT, ANGT by the time we talk next time, still in 2015. We will know the first team who is in the ANGT finals in Berlin. So with that, I'll catch you next week. On the first day of Christmas, my true love sent to me a partridge in a pear tree. On the second day of Christmas, my true love sent to me two turtle doves in a partridge.
Seven Hi, this is Patrick Baumann, Secretary General of FIBA, and you're listening to Taking the Charge. Enjoy.